Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Well, this past week certainly shows that volatility is here to stay. The Dow finished the week down 2%, S&P 500 down 1.5%. Year to date on the S&P, we're still off over 23%, Dow almost 20%. So we're still in a bear market, so to speak. And so this was quite a week. And I'll say it shows you that volatility is alive and healthy. What happened? I mean, last weekend we were talking about what happened the previous week. It wasn't looking so good. We were worried about Russia. And then all of a sudden, Monday and Tuesday this week, we had some really big days. And that was a showing that, like I was saying, anything really on the upside or downside could spark this market pretty quickly. And I continue to believe that the S&P 500 is at fair value between 3680 and 3910 on the S&P. But three events this past week had stocks take off at the beginning of the week. The first was the September ISM number. That's the ISM production number. So that number came in a little better than we thought. And what that showed was that inflation is not that bad. So this is a manufacturing index. It fell to 50.9%. The estimate was 52, so it was a little lower. And this was the weakest reading we've seen since May of 20. And that's further evidence that the economy is moderating. Possibly the most important figure in the ISM release was the price index, which fell 0.8 points to 51.7. This was the lowest level we've seen since June of 20. Now, easing prices offered new evidence that inflation has possibly peaked, and this is the issue that just keeps coming back. Second, the Reserve Bank of Australia became the first major Western central bank to provide a dovish surprise as the bank hiked rates just 25 basis points instead of what they were expecting of 50 basis points. And finally, the Fed finally got some good news on the labor market as the JOLTS, this is the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey, fell to 10.05 million versus the estimate of 11.15 million, which is the lowest level we've seen since June 21. So that's what set up Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday was a little sleepy, and we're all waiting for Friday, the jobs report for September. Now, this is what happened yesterday, Friday, and you saw the market, again, give back a lot of what it took on in the beginning of the week. So we were hoping that the jobs report would be just right and not show that inflation is still here. And so the jobs report came in at 263,000, which was a little more than the estimate at 250. But that's too hot, okay? So when you talk about Goldilocks and you got just right and too hot or too cold, this was, I'll say, just right and a little hot. And so that 263 number was a little hot compared to the 250 number we were looking for. But we did get some just right in that the unemployment rate went down a little bit. It was estimated at 3.7, went down to 3.5. So that's good. And wages as well, which was, as you may remember, has been pretty hot. Wages were at 5% versus the estimate of 5.1 year over year. So that's pretty good. And that shows that overall the labor market is starting to cool off, but not enough to make the market excited. And so that's why you saw what happened yesterday. Now, I got a question this week about Credit Suisse. Is Credit Suisse going the way of Lehman Brothers? Well, in a reminder of the 2008 financial crisis, concerns about the solvency of Credit Suisse came into focus. And I wanted to explain what's happening at Credit Suisse, why it's occurring, and if Credit Suisse is another Lehman Brothers. So first of all, what's happening? Well, in short, Credit Suisse is starting to act like a bank that's about to go under. Over the past several weeks, Credit Suisse stock has collapsed about 58%, but nearly half of the losses have come in the last 30 days as markets began to worry about its solvency. But it's not just the stock that's reflecting financial concern. Credit default swaps on Credit Suisse have surged to multi-year highs, furthering the concern that the bank may have to default on some of the obligations. Finally, the bank was downgraded by both Fitch and Standard & Poor's. So why is this happening right now? Well, put simply, Credit Suisse has a litany of scandals and trading losses over the past years, and it's starting to catch up to them. As you may remember, Credit Suisse was at the epicenter of the Grenzel and Archegos matter last year that results in about a $15.5 billion loss for Credit Suisse. More recently, the latest bout of stress has been caused partially by Credit Suisse management. They stated at the earnings call that they'd announce a new strategic direction for the company. And so the structural uncertainty bred more volatility and concern in the market. And so, good question, is Credit Suisse going the way of Lehman? And I'm going to say it's not likely, and here's why. I'm not saying that because Credit Suisse is in relatively strong financial shape, which it is, by the way. Credit Suisse has strong capital ratios with Tier 1 common equity ratio of 13.5% and a liquidity coverage ratio of 191%, both well over regulatory requirements and better than some peers. However, as anyone who was in the business back in 2008 can tell you, perceived funding problems can become real problems for a bank once clients get nervous because they pull money and create liquidity problems. You can look at what happened to Bear Stearns and Lehman. There's no evidence right now that that's happening at Credit Suisse, yet be aware it obviously could happen at some point. So I think it's a strong possibility that the Swiss National Bank would bail out Credit Suisse just like they did back in 2008. And so I think it's unlikely they'll do it again this time, again, not bail them out. I think they will come to their rescue. But let's just see what happens because the macroeconomic landscape obviously has to get better. So again, thanks for the question. Bottom line, I think the script for the stock market is that misery is going to end when inflation peaks, when the Fed get less hawkishness, like I've been saying, and they show that they're going to pivot and start not raising rates anymore, but do the other. And the economy starts to slow down, but doesn't collapse. And of course, geopolitical events improve and corporate earnings stay relatively stable. And that is going to be the recipe for this bear market. But in the meantime, you've got to stay tactical. And so while the coast is not clear right now, and I think this recession will drag on probably well into 23, you need to look at what you own and why you own it and be a little bit sensitive to it. So overall, right now, we see opportunities in fixed income. U.S. investment grade bonds are down about 14.5% this year. This has been the worst three quarters in the history of the index going back to 1973. And a review of historical performance reveals that over any five-year time frame, the single best predictor of future returns of high-quality individual bonds is their starting yield. And at 4.75% roughly right now, this is the highest we've seen since 2007. In addition to the higher income potential, investment-grade bonds can potentially serve as a buffer against equity market volatility. But make sure you review those with your advisor. Make sure you understand what you're doing before you get involved in anything like that. And as far as equities go right now, again, I think the valuation on the S&P is pretty fair, but there's still some downward, obviously, surprises that can happen if things don't materialize the way we'd like to see. But you could see some good opportunities in that. And I think overall value and defensive sectors will continue to do well in this bear market. And as we get in this later stage of this bear, cyclical sectors and tech could come back. But again, you've got to be have a strong constitution to get involved in that. So overall, I like opportunities in emerging markets right now. And as far as key support levels go, on the S&P 500, we're looking at a support right now of 3534. And if that breaks, then we're looking at 3427. Next week will be interesting. So let's see what happens with more inflation data.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.